the Word of God and fervent prayer. We'll ask God to give us spiritual infrared lenses to see right through the lies. God, give us spiritual lenses to see right through the schemes and the lies. Because the reality is this, do you today believe? Do you believe the Word of God has the power to overcome any obstacle? Like, do you believe that today?
Welcome to This Day in the Word with Pastor John Couch, the radio teaching ministry of This Day Ministries. It is a joy to have you listening today, and we pray that you will be encouraged, challenged, and motivated to live for God like never before. And now, with today's message, here's Pastor John Couch.
God, we come before you, and I was reminded here today of your word that simply says, be still and know with confidence that I am God. Father, we confess that we are frail, not just physically, but on every level. And Father, so often, if we're not careful, we can allow the unstillness to disrupt our knowing confidently that you are God. So, Father, I don't know what everyone has brought into this room today, but I know we live in a fallen, broken, depraved world, and there are a lot of challenges wherever we go, God. But your word reminds us that you are Jehovah Jireh, that you are a great provider on every level. And God, as we come before you today, right now, just simply saying, Lord, we need you to provide nourishment from the Word to our weary souls. Oh God, I pray, would you give us a touch from heaven today? May we block out every distraction as we open your Word, as we feast on it. Holy Spirit, I pray that you would stir in this time. Would you move in power so that we would know it's you and that we would give you all the glory. And so, Father, I yield myself to you right now. You take over. We're not here to hear from a human vessel. God, we're here to hear from you. Because I know this in my heart, God, that I got nothing good to say. Nothing. But your word has everything good to say. And so as we, right now, dive deep, may you bring alive an awakening and a revival and a hunger and a thirst for your word like never before. And God will praise you until you call us home. And we pray this all in the name that's above every name. In the name that according to your word, the truth, that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Oh, great God, we pray this in the name that's above every name, the matchless name of King Jesus. And all God's people said, amen. Now take your Bible and turn to Acts. Acts chapter 4, we've made it to chapter 4, and I pray that you're encouraged and growing deeply in the Word through the study of the Word in Acts. And as you're turning there, the thought occurred to me as we were singing those songs and that one stanza in there about God is undefeated. I mean, I love that. Don't you love that today, that you serve God who's undefeated, that he's not defeated? No matter what's going on in the world today, what's going on in your personal life, your struggles, the pain, the challenges, that we serve the God who is undefeated. If you believe that today, can you shout amen? The title of the message today is The Gospel Cannot Be Stopped. The gospel cannot be stopped. The enemy, Satan himself, has been trying to stop the gospel from day one. And the reality is the gospel cannot be stopped. It's impossible for the gospel to be stopped. I don't know about you, but that gives me great joy. That gives me a great zeal. That gives me a fresh desire to live for Jesus. I mean, if you know something can be stopped, there's not a lot of confidence there, amen? But because we know it cannot be stopped, it doesn't matter who comes against us. The gospel cannot be stopped. Tony Evans said it like this: our identity is to be rooted in the image of God. But we've gotten to be so ingrained in our thinking in this culture that we wind up being parakeets to what the society is saying. Let me say that one more time. That's a powerful statement that Tony Evans made. Our identity is to be rooted, to be riveted to be anchored to the image of God. But we've gotten so ingrained in the thinking of the culture that we wind up being parakeets to what the society is saying, rather than taking a solid, loving, but clear stance on what God is saying. You know, we need to get back to thus saith the Lord, amen? There is something about getting back to simple scripture saying, this is what God's word says. We know it's offensive. We know it's not going to draw a crowd. We know that there's going to be people that are going to be very incensed by the word of God. But we must take a loving but firm stand saying, this is what God's word says. And the whole point behind that is we know this, that it's the word of God that will set us free. Well, here in Acts chapter 4, you're going to see a beautiful, beautiful illustration of the power of God and the power of the gospel and the unstoppable, unshakable force of the gospel in the midst of pushback. And here's what the word says. Acts chapter 4. Verse 1, and as they were speaking to the people, the priests and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them. Very important that you understand who's coming upon them. Now look at verse 2. This is the ESV. Greatly annoyed. Why? Because they were teaching the people and proclaiming in Jesus the resurrection from the dead. Now look at verse 3, the response. And they had to do something. And they arrested them. And they put them in custody until the next day, for it was already evening. Verse 4, but, don't you love when there's a but in Scripture? But many of those who had heard the word, help me church, believed. And the number of the men came to about 5,000. Wow. Isn't that powerful? In the midst of so many challenges, in the midst of so many issues that Peter and John are in the midst of, you got to remember, quick context here, Peter and John are going to a temple. They're going to pray. They got a lame dude who's laying there, and the guy's like, hey, can you give me a donation? I'm 40 years old. They've been bringing me here each day. I'm laying here. I need help. And they say, look, chief, we don't got any cash on us, but what we do have, we'll give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, we say, get up and walk. It's interesting when you look here in verse 1 of chapter 4, religious people don't take kindly to when God is working. Religious people don't take kindly to when God is working. You go, wait a minute, I thought religion was a good thing. Well, it is a good thing when you're rooted in theology, the doctrine of God, when you're rooted in a relationship with Him. But if it's simply external trappings, and that's where the priest and the captain of the temple, he was kind of the Barney Fife policeman, if you will.
You got the Sadducees, they're on the scene here, and you always remember that, well, they didn't believe in the resurrection, so they were sad, you see. That's how you remember that one right there. They didn't believe in the resurrection. And church, I don't know about you today, but if you don't believe in the resurrection, man, game over. Man, this is all a waste of time. If Jesus Christ is still in the grave, you and I are eternally lost. But because we know this from Scripture, from the Word of God, we stand on the truth. We stand on the Word of God. We know this with confidence today, that because our Redeemer lives, because He conquered the grave, we know this with clarity. We're not hoping. We're not wishing. Our fingers aren't crossed. Our eyes aren't crossed. We know this with 100% certainty that our Redeemer lives, and because He conquered the grave. For you that have given your life to Jesus, you have been set free from the penalty of death and the curse of sin. And whom the Son sets free is not partially free, but is forever free indeed. Amen. I find this intriguing in verse 1 in your Bible as you look at that with me. It says, as they were speaking to the people, the priests and the captain, the Sadducees came upon them. They were greatly annoyed. Why? Because they were teaching the people and proclaiming in Jesus the resurrection from the dead. It means this: when they're annoyed, they're greatly displeased. They're greatly disturbed. They're irritated. One way to look at this is when Jesus would go into the synagogue in that day and He'd begin to teach. There's many accounts there in the Gospels where Jesus would begin to teach. And I don't know about you, you have, you know, your favorite preacher that you listen to on TV, and there's some amazing communicators out there. I can promise you this, though. I can promise you this, that when Jesus Christ began to speak, the Word tells us what happened, that the people were amazed. It says they were astonished. They said, "Who is this guy? We've never heard anyone speak like this." Well, what happens is these religious leaders who, the outside shell, they prayed, they gave financially, they quoted the law, they had it all going on the outside, but the Bible says this, that Jesus calls them a brood of vipers, and He says, "Your heart is far from me." The outside, the shell of you, who you are, is clean, if you will, but the inside is filthy. You're like a whitewashed tomb full of dead men's bones. And here they are. They're coming against. They're attacking the gospel. Someone who loves Jesus, someone who loves the gospel of Jesus that will set people free. And maybe right now you're thinking about a family member or a coworker, someone in your life that needs to be set free. Why on earth would you be annoyed at the very thing that will set them free? The gospel is the greatest cure for the greatest cancer called sin. And why would anyone in their right mind, and that's the key, in their right spiritual mind, why would anyone be annoyed, disturbed, and displeased with that? Well, it's very simple. The only people that are annoyed with that are people that may profess Christ, but their hearts are far from Him. And right here, we see so clearly that example. Why? Well, because they were teaching the people and proclaiming in Jesus the resurrection from the dead. Write this key number one down in your notes in front of you. Key number one: when you stand for the truth of the gospel, people will get annoyed, especially religious people. Key number one: when you stand for the truth of the gospel, people will get annoyed, especially religious people. I mean, think about this, church. When God's people speak God's truth to other people, Satan attacks. When God's people speak God's truth to other people, Satan attacks. And he often uses people masquerading as Christians to do the interrupting and the attacking. That's how he works. He's covert. He loves the subliminal, if you will. He loves to fly under the radar. He masquerades as a cosmopolitan of light, is what the Bible says. That he looks, the enemy does, he looks appealing. It looks good. The schemes look good. The lies look good. They look pleasing. They look true, but it's all a charade. And that's exactly what was going on with Peter and John. They're now being attacked for doing the very thing that has set this man free. Remember, these religious people, as you look in your Bible there, they look the part. And in America today, it's just too easy to look the part, isn't it? Just easy. It takes very little effort to look the part. Boy, it takes a lot of effort to really be surrendered to Christ. It takes a lot of self-denial and taking up our crosses and following Him. And it pushes against the American narrative. It pushes against the American dream. And that's not attractional. But at the end of the day, when it's your time, when it's your time to go into the presence of Jesus, will you truly be able to say that I belong to Christ? I fear all over our country today, there's so many that profess but don't really belong. People will revile you if you stand for Christ. They're going to hate you if you stand for Christ. They're going to lie about you, gossip about you, and do mean things, and that's what's going to happen. That's what you're signing up for. But that's okay. It's okay because it's the joy-filled life. It's the life, as Peter and John are showing us here today, that they live. That they didn't go, oh, wait a minute, okay, these religious people, they're professing to know the truth, but they really don't know the truth. And wait a minute, they're irritated, they're annoyed, they're disturbed, they're displeased. So, you know what, let's crumple up God's plans and let's bend to the masses. Let's bend to the people. That's not what they did. They pressed on. But you got to remember, church, and I pray you to sink your teeth into this next thought, that when people revile you, and they will, when they hate you, and they come against you, they're actually not attacking you. They're attacking Jesus who lives inside of you. And if you can let that marinate and get deep into your core, when, not if, but when the challenges mount and when the losses are piling up one after another, you can preach to yourself that truth, that you can just understand with confidence that, oh, I know I'm going to follow the Lord, and even if none go with me, I'm still following Jesus. And that's the beauty of the gospel, amen. I love these supporting verses, and I pray you write these down. I'll let these just dig deep into your soul. Write down John chapter 12. John 12, 9 through 11, under this key one, when you stand for the truth of the gospel, people will get annoyed, especially religious people. John 12, verse 9 says this, when the large crowd of the Jews learned that Jesus was there, uh-oh, they came. Not only on account of him, but also to see Lazarus, whom he had raised from the dead. Now look at verse 10. Here's the response from the religious people. Here's the response from the religious people. So the chief priests made plans. They're scheming. They're scheming behind the scenes to put Lazarus to death as well. Wait a minute. He just died once. Why? Because on account of him, many of the Jews were going away and believing in Jesus. Wow. That's powerful, isn't it? The guy's already been dead once, and this is the schemes of the enemy with religious people that have the Christian costume on, that as the schemes and the lies are going on behind the scenes, here's what happens. They're planning, they're a tool in the enemy's hands to defeat the gospel, but what they don't understand is the gospel can never be stopped. I mean, if you're fighting for something that you're not sure if it's going to work out or win, that's pretty discouraging, amen? But when we know this, that the gospel cannot be stopped, it doesn't matter who comes against. It doesn't matter. I love John 16, 1 through 3. John 15, for context, is talking of being hated on behalf of Christ. So John 16, 1 through 3 says this, Jesus speaks, I have said all these things to you to keep you from falling away. But we're seeing a massive falling away in America today. Verse 2, they will put you out of the synagogues, the church houses. Indeed, the hour is coming when whoever kills you, now listen to this delusion, will think he is offering service to God. That's how twisted and demented this is. And when they do these things, because they have not known the Father, nor me, and they will do these things. Did you catch that? Because they have not known the Father, nor me. Look good on the outside. The Christian suit fit well. But they don't know me, Jesus says. A.W. Pink, a theologian, says it like this. There is only one safeguard against error, and that is to be established in the faith. And for that, there has to be prayerful and diligent study and a receiving with meekness the engrafted word of God. Only then are we fortified against the attacks of those who assail us, end quote. Church, where does Satan attack? Where does he attack? He attacks where he's threatened the most. Don't forget that. Where does Satan attack? He attacks where he's threatened the most. Well, what happened back to our story here in Acts 4? What action did these religious yahoos take against Peter and John? Well, look at verse 3. And they arrested them. Okay, wow. And they put them in custody until the next day, for it was already evening. They arrested them. They literally laid hands on them. They are so incensed. They are so furious. And you can just see the vengeance as you read this. As you study this deep down into the narrative of the original Greek language, you can see just how burning with anger they were. That's what happens when light and darkness collide. Ever been around someone like that who is just so incensed, is so furious, is so bitter, it's just taken over who they are? And that's what happens when you walk in darkness. And when darkness collides with light, remember, church, that they don't hate you, they actually hate who's living inside of you. Because, church, where does Satan attack? He always attacks where he's threatened the most. Write down key number 2, if you would, please. Key number 2. When you stand for the truth of the gospel, people may take severe action against you, especially religious people. Key number 2, write this down. When you stand for the truth of the gospel, when you stand for the truth of the gospel, people may take severe action against you, especially religious people. The darkness, as I mentioned, collides with the light, and I want you to write down these verses here. It's Acts chapter 5, 40 through 42. We're going to study it in the weeks to come, but I want to give you a beautiful illustration of this severe action. Look at Acts chapter 5 here on the screens, verse 40. And when they had called in the apostles, they beat them and they charged them not to speak in the name of Jesus and let them go. Now look at 41. This is amazing. Look at their response, the apostles. Then they left the presence of the council rejoicing. Rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer dishonor, to suffer shame for the name. And then look at this response. And every day in the temple and from house to house, they did not cease teaching and preaching that the Christ is Jesus. I don't know if you picked up on this, but in verse 40, and when they had called the disciples, the apostles, to themselves, they beat them and they charged them. They instructed them not to speak in the name of Jesus. See, when Jesus gets a hold of your life, how can you not speak about Jesus?
You're listening to This Day in the Word, the radio teaching ministry of This Day Ministries. All of Pastor Couch's messages are archived and are free to download at thisdayministries.org. In addition, you can share your prayer requests with us via email. Our email address for prayer requests is prayer@thisdayministries.org. That's prayer@thisdayministries.org. And now, back to This Day in the Word with Pastor John Couch.
You know, I know that sometimes we think of severe action against Christ followers as just being something in a foreign country. Prayerfully, at least for today, we're not being imprisoned. Those times could easily change. But I want us to think on a few thoughts here for a moment. You know, it's interesting when you study the Bible and you study church history that you look at the narrative of the disciples and how they died. Just listen for a moment. I pray this sinks in deeply to see the call on these men's lives, that they knew the treasure they had in these jars of clay, that they knew this treasure was something that could only be spread, that it must be spread at any cost, they knew it had to be spread. Maybe you've had a bad day, a bad week, a bad month, a bad year. Listen to these men. Bartholomew, filleted to death by a whip in Asia Minor. Andrew, crucified on an X-shaped cross in Greece. Simon, crucified in Persia. James, beheaded in Palestine. Thomas, stabbed with a spear in India. Peter, crucified upside down by Nero because he did not want to be crucified right side up like his Savior. He did not feel worthy. Matthew, impaled by spears in Ethiopia. The other James, thrown off a wall and then clubbed to death. Jude, crucified by the Magi in Persia. Matthias, stoned and beheaded. Philip, hung by iron hooks upside down. And of course, John on the island of Patmos. Died in exile there on that island. The early Christians, when you study those accounts after the disciples died, many would go to Nero's circus. They would fill the Colosseum with thousands upon thousands of spectators. They would cheer as the Christians were put in the middle, and they would release the lions to destroy them in front of everyone. And they counted it worthy to exit this life and go into the next life. Roman candles. Those were Christians that were put on poles and lit aflame. In 1536, William Tyndale was strangled and burnt at the stake for translating the Bible into English. His final words were, "Open the King of England's eyes. Church, where does Satan attack?" He attacks where he's threatened the most. Peter and John, they've been arrested. But that's not the end of the story, and all God's people said. See, in spite of the opposition in your Bible in verse 4, what did the Holy Spirit do? And this is the key. Don't miss this. The key is not your circumstances for standing for the truth. The key is the Holy Spirit working as you stand for the truth. Let me say that one more time. The key are not your circumstances as you stand for the truth. The key is what the Holy Spirit's doing and going to do as you stand for the truth. Look at verse 4. This brings a smile to my face. But many of those who had heard the word believed. And the number of the men came to about 5,000. And all God's people said, remember back in verse 1, the power players, the priests, the Sadducees, the captain of the temple, the police there, if you will, they came to intimidate. They're like, we're going to intimidate these two. I mean, by the way, it wasn't like Peter and John, you know, had weapons on them. They have physical weapons, but what they didn't know was they had the greatest weapon in the name of the power of the Holy Spirit indwelling them. And here's these two guys who've just said, look, we don't got any money, but we're going to tell you, get up and walk, and not in our name. Don't look at us. Look at Jesus. The religious people are ticked off. The applause and the focus is off them, and that's what they wanted. They wanted the preeminence. And what happens? They get persecuted. They get mistreated. But you got to remember, this is just a setup. Just a setup to show off the power of God. Have you ever thought about that before, church? What if in the midst of challenges, what if in the midst of seeming daunting circumstances, what if God is actually working behind the scenes to set up the platform? What if he's setting the stage? What if he's setting the table to show off his glory? You say, well, where do you get that, preacher? Verse 4. But many of those who had heard the word. See, faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Many, not all, but many heard the word, and they believed. Write down key number 3. Write this down in your notes. When you stand for the truth of the gospel, people will get annoyed, and they may take severe action against you, but the gospel cannot be stopped. Key number 3, when you stand for the truth of the gospel, when you stand for the truth of the gospel, people will get annoyed, and they may take severe action against you, but the gospel cannot be stopped. Do you believe that today? I mean, do you really believe that today? Do you believe without any doubt, any reservation, that the gospel cannot be stopped? I do. You say, well, why? Like, how do you have that kind of confidence in the Bible? How do you have that kind of confidence in the gospel? How do you have that kind of confidence when you just read how these disciples died a horrific life? How do you have that kind of confidence? You have that kind of confidence because you stand on the word of God. This is what the Word of God says, Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. Hebrews 4, 12. For the Word of God is, help me church, living. And it's active. It's sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of the soul and of the spirit, of the joints and the marrow, and discerning the thoughts and the intentions of the heart. It's living. This Bible that I hold in front of you today, it's just not a Bible as far as a book and pages and, oh, it looks nice. No, this Bible is the living, breathing Word of God. It's alive. This Bible sets dead men and women alive. And if this sets dead men and women alive, where does Satan attack the most? Where he's threatened the most? 2 Timothy chapter 3, 16 through 17. All Scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness. Why? That the man of God, that the person of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. Isaiah 40, verse 8. Isaiah 40, verse 8. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God will stand forever. Isaiah 55, 10 through 11. Isaiah 55, 10 and 11. For as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return there, but water the earth, making it bring forth and sprout, giving seed to the sower and bread to the eater. Verse 11, so shall my word be to those be that goes out from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty or void, but it shall accomplish that which I purpose and shall succeed in the thing which I sent it. And lastly, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. 2 Timothy 2, 8 and 9. Remember Jesus Christ, risen from the dead, the offspring of David, as preached in my gospel. Here it is. Paul writes, for which I am suffering, bound with chains as a criminal, but the word of God is not bound. Do you believe that today, church? That Paul's saying, look, I'm chained, I'm imprisoned. Here's Peter and John, they've just been arrested. They're not folding their tent. That's the easy thing to do. That's what Satan wants us to do. Hey, fold your tent. No, that's exactly the moment that you ratchet down. That's exactly the moment that you press in. You press in because you know this, that it's the word of God that will set people free, but you're also not naive. You know this as well. Where does Satan attack? He attacks where he's threatened the most. We live in a culture today where I'm dumbfounded and confounded by what the enemy's doing in homes all across our country. The deception and the deceit and the lies that he's bringing into homes. You know, one of Satan's most used tactics in our culture today, church, is how he dumps the lighter fluid, if you will, the lighter fluid, the igniting fluid of a lack of spiritual discernment onto the fire that's raging all around us. I'm just amazed utterly at how people get tossed to and fro. Because lack of spiritual discernment is actually spiritual blindness. And lack of spiritual discernment is being spiritually gullible and being naive. And the only way you combat that is to put your face in the book. And you begin to dig deep. And as the psalmist would say, and even as the proverbs say, that you write it on the tablet of your heart, that it becomes a frontlet to your eyes, that you begin to sear it into your conscience, that you begin to make it the treasure of your life, that it is your life, because wisdom is the principal thing, and all you're getting, get wisdom. And the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. It all begins with the living, active, breathing Word of God. If you're not in the Word of God, you are going to get destroyed spiritually. There's no way around this. You're going to get destroyed. And there's so many families today all over our country that are spiritually getting destroyed, and they have no clue they're getting destroyed. This is one of those moments where we look to Peter and John and we go, wait a minute, what can we learn from these guys? What can we learn that knowing that Satan's got these allures, he has these traps, he's got these baits, he just dangles the bait of Satan, and there it is, trying to ensnare and redirect people from the truth, always trying to get people off the truth. Listen to this noise and listen to this chatter, but ignore the truth. That's what the enemy does. Well, what do we do, church? Well, I pray that as we immerse ourselves in the Word of God and in fervent prayer, the Word of God and fervent prayer, we'll ask God to give us spiritual infrared lenses to see right through the lies. God, give us spiritual lenses to see right through the schemes and the lies. Because the reality is this, do you today believe? Do you believe the Word of God has the power to overcome any obstacle? Like, do you believe that today? In your family, at home, at work, church? Church, I don't know if you know this, but our hope is not in the economy. My hope's not in the economy. My hope's not in the White House. My hope's not in the church house. My hope's in Jesus. If we're waiting for this thing to work out because we're putting our hope in who the next president is, man, we're all going to be disappointed. But I can assure you this, when we put our hope in Jesus Christ, our hope is built on nothing less than Jesus Christ and His righteousness. Now we begin to trust Him and obey, for there's no other way to be joyful and happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. And on we can go. When sorrows like sea billows roll, Whatever my lot, Lord, Thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul. Like, how do you get there? How do you get to that place in your life? Well, I know how you get there. You belong to Jesus. And church, we got to understand this, that as David said to Goliath, you come to me with a spear and a sword, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts. We begin to go on the offensive and say, Lord, man, we don't know what you're doing, but we know this, you're in control. We know we're going to trust you. We know that we're going to walk by faith and not by sight. We believe that the gospel cannot be stopped. There's only one God and there's only one Jesus. And Jesus Christ is coming back. I don't know if you know this. He's coming back. And He's going to bring back with Him. He's going to take with Him, not those who profess Him, but it was a charade. He's not going to take with Him just not those that looked the part or said the part or did all the right things or showed up on Sunday or Wednesday or never missed Sunday school. He's going to take with Him those who belong to Him. And for you today, and I pray everyone is in this room, I pray everyone in this room has truly given their life to Christ. If you haven't, I pray you do today. There's no greater thing you can do today. You can't go find the perfect house. You can't go get the perfect spouse. You can't drive the perfect car. Whatever you're thinking of this afternoon, I got to go do this to fill the void and dull the pain. The only thing that will truly fill the void and dull the pain in your life and my life is the royal righteous blood of King Jesus. There's nothing else. Everything else will let you down. You'll try it, and you'll try it, and you'll try it, and you'll get tired of it, and you'll try something else, and try this, and get tired of that, and bouncing around like a pinball machine, and finally you give your life to Christ. And you go, I finally have joy. Even in the midst of the battle. Are you fully surrendered to God? Are you finishing well spiritually? Well, church, how do you persevere as people around you, even professing Christians, right here as I'm looking at these verses, as they get annoyed with you as you stand for Christ? How do you persevere when they come against you, take severe action? ultimately, we look to Christ. Amen. But we take comfort from Acts chapter 20 as I close. Acts chapter 20. Listen to these powerful words. Here's the Apostle Paul. Listen to what he says. Acts chapter 20. Now from Miletus, he sent to Ephesus and he called the elders of the church to come to him. And here in verse 17, he goes on and then says these beautiful words in 18. And when they came to him, he said to them, "You yourselves know how I lived among you the whole time from the first day that I set foot in Asia, serving the Lord with all humility and with tears and with trials that happened to me through the plots of the Jews, the schemes of the Jews. 20, how I did not shrink, pull back from declaring to you anything that was profitable in teaching you in public and from house to house, testifying both to Jews and to Greeks of repentance towards God and of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And now, behold, I'm going to Jerusalem, constrained by the Holy Spirit, not knowing what will happen to me there, except that the Holy Spirit testifies to me that in every city that imprisonment and afflictions await me." But look at his response. "But I do not account my life of any value, nor is precious to myself, if only I may finish my course and the ministry that I received from the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel of the grace of God." And all God's people said. I pray that's my mantra, and I pray that's yours. I pray that's yours today. I pray that's yours today. I pray over each one of you right now, it's yours. Dying for Jesus physically is not a waste. What's a waste is professing Jesus, but not really belonging to him. Do you know the gospel cannot be stopped? I know it cannot be stopped. And I pray you and I will live all our days to advance this glorious mission, not for our praise, but for his. Amen. Father, we come before you in Lord, I know that when your word is spoken, that the enemy distracts. So Lord, I just pray a simple prayer here. I pray any distractions that the enemy has attempted to cause during the heralding of your word, that I pray that you would simply hinder him from going forth. Lord, I really don't know sometimes if people understand that you're coming back. And so my prayer, God, is that you will embolden those who have truly given their life to you to truly be all in. Lord, for those that have made a profession, but it's not real, that their life is still their own, Lord, I pray you'd bring them under heavy conviction. Lord, for those who are listening to lies and gossip, Lord, I pray that you would bring the truth to the light. And your word promises that what is hidden will be revealed, and what is covered will be made known. So, Lord, for those who are standing for you and they're taking a beating, Lord, I pray that you comfort them right now. Comfort them, that they would know that there'll come a day when it will all be brought into the light. And so, Father, embolden, encourage, strengthen all believers around the world right now, I pray. Help them to know that it's not a waste to die to self, God, it's so true that we may not die physically for our faith, but it's equally true that all who desire to truly live for you will die to self. Father, I pray by the power of the Holy Spirit, will you move in this time? Lord, I pray you'd stir just a fervency in my heart, in our hearts today, that in a world that embraces casual Christianity, Lord, I pray that we would live the difference and be the difference. Lord, if there's one here today that has never truly given their life to you, Holy Spirit, I pray that you would stir in that heart right now. Perhaps someone who's been in church for decades, but the reality is they still run their own life. Lord, I pray you draw them right now to your side. Lord, for those that are greatly discouraged in their faith, as they go to work tomorrow and perhaps are suffering mistreatment for the gospel, and it happens right here in America, God, I pray for them right now. Would you give them great encouragement? Help them to see this beautiful illustration that the gospel cannot be stopped. That in the midst of all that went on with Peter and John, the word was not hindered. 5,000 were the men that believed and gave their lives to Jesus. Oh Lord, keep us focused and dialed in on what matters most. Don't allow us to get distracted, but keep us dialed in. And God, whatever you want us to do as we open the altar now, may you simply have us respond in obedience, because you bless obedience. Oh God, to you be the praise for your glorious word. Oh God, to you be the glory that the gospel cannot be stopped. God, we love you. We worship you. May your glory rise above us right now. And we pray this all in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen.
You've been listening to This Day in the Word, the radio teaching ministry of This Day Ministries. Don't forget that all of these messages are archived and are free to download at thisdayministries.org. That's thisdayministries.org. In addition, if you have been blessed by the teaching of God's Word during This Day in the Word, we would love to hear from you. Our email address is info@thisdayministries.org. Thanks again for listening as we strive to honor Christ and impact our world as we spend this day in the Word.